When we speak in terms of human kindness, what is the difference between human kindness and God kindness? We speak in terms of compassion. How do you determine what compassion is? You spend all of your lives running away from suffering and pain. You hide underneath that which is termed your blood and sinew and tissue. You blame other people so that you never have to carry the burden yourself. And human beings, for all their worth, spend all of their time protecting themselves. And what is a human being? Is this the only life you've ever lived? Will it be the only life you ever live? How about your life? If your life is that which is termed, to move into that which is termed the deepest and grossest matter, to perform the duties of making known the unknown, if the human being, as it were indeed, is defined in terms of body, then life is a fleeting moment. Freedom from pain and suffering are weighed in moments, not years. If we are talking about that which is termed who and what you are, then it is fair to say that what you are could be likened unto that which is termed a book, a scroll, a manuscript, and that your journey, as it were indeed, into that which is termed time, your journey through that which is termed gross matter is likened unto chapters in a book, that a lifetime may be as brief as one page or as long as 50. That one lifetime, as it were indeed, if it is only a chapter, then every chapter must not be redundant of the one prior to it and must always set the stage to the one that will follow it. Such as the analogy of that which is termed the agony and the ecstasy of being a human being. Now, to the greater truth, a human being will circumcise, a human being will wash and make clean, a human being will protect, a human being will hide, a human being will huddle in fear, and will not engage the experience if the human being is only a human being. They are afraid of suffering and go to great lengths to protect themselves from it. One who wakes up understands that being a human being is plagued with suffering. Consciousness and energy is the creator of the sublime and indeed mass itself. Then how does a human being set up each chapter as an experience? If they are unawakened, rarely do they ever get past the prologue. Some make it to the first chapter, others are stuck in the third and never go any further, and their book lies waiting to be filled up. But because by the third chapter they have become so human, and their sight so narrow and contracted that the only thing that they focus on is time, those moments between birth and death. And all of those moments are spent living like a fiend, become sensual and terrified every day of your life that you're going to get hurt, something will happen to you, you will have an accident, you will suffer, you will have pain, you will bleed, you will have a broken heart. And if you're a human being, you eventually die, oftentimes of dreadful diseases, and the suffering has been legion. What can you possibly learn contracting from life in such a way? What happens to a human being when they are touched? Something occurs within them and they begin to wake up and ask the great questions. What am I? Who am I? What is force? What is life? What is mind? They begin to ask such questions that most never want to address because they are afraid of what the answer may be. They're afraid, perhaps, that they have flauntingly thrown out the opportunity to somehow do better and be better. But those who ask, they begin to wake up from sort of a dream. And living as a human being is like having a dream at night, deep asleep. And your dream is quite poignant. And you try to wake up and you tell yourself in the middle of the dream you want to wake up and record this so you can remember it, because you know if you don't get up then and wake up entirely, you will forget the dream. And so heavy with sleep are you that rarely do you wake up and record the dream, and you allow the nocturnal bliss to consume you, and you take on another dream, and by morning you know something happened, but you can't remember what it was because you didn't wake up in the midst of the dream. When you ask these questions, when you pray long and you contemplate genuinely, when you yearn and feel an emptiness inside of you and you ask for help, you may get something like me in your life. You really want to know the truth. And the process is to wake up from this dream. Wake up in the midst of this life and understand who's doing the dreaming. And that those dreams are all about sleep. That they are all about, in the opposite, this life and how you live it or how you sleep it. Now, waking up in the midst of nocturnal bliss, waking up in the middle of a successful life, waking up in the midst or on the onslaught of outrageous youth, waking up when you're young and you're beautiful, waking up when you're old and gray, waking up when you are impotent, takes a lot of courage in the middle of the night, in the middle of life, to get up and to ascertain what was the dream, indeed, what was the life about. It takes a lot of courage. Now, if you did do that, you would be on the very edge of the dream. And therefore, you would be able to remember it completely. Its feelings still washing over you, its visions still bright and burning. And you could hold it forever. But if you don't wake up, then it is washed back out to the subconscious mind. And the chapter in the book is never finished. Here's what I want you to learn. And when you wake up, there are not too many pleasant things to ascertain about this dream. Because clearly you begin to understand where some of your fears have come from and why you have been so drugged into the sleep. Because you have been afraid to understand certain principles about the Book of Life.